The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch on the Raiders Podcast Network.
And Raider Nation, very, very excited for the first official episode of The Fifth Quarter presented by Twitch. Eddie Pascal joined by our pal Lincoln Kennedy. And Lincoln, the Raiders just completed their first game of the preseason, a 20-7 win over the Seattle Seahawks. But before we get to everything that we saw on the field, let's just start with this. A huge moment for this organization, a huge moment for this city. The first time we had fans in Allegiant. You were on the call today. What was it like for you just pregame, kind of getting ready to do this and kind of basking in this moment we've all been waiting for a really long time?
Well, Eddie, last year, you know, Brent and I joked about it on the broadcast that we could hear the quarterback's cadence and hear the offensive lineman call last year because there were no fans allowed in the stadium to watch the game, which was a little bit eerie. So this time around, especially for a preseason game, seeing such a turnout, it was not only good for the Raiders organization as a whole, but the city of Las Vegas. I mean, you saw a lot of the old faithful Raider Nation from back in Oakland. I saw Gorilla Rill out there. I saw Darth Vader. I saw a lot of the notable old-time fans, as well as some new ones. And you saw a great turnout by the Seahawks fans as well to come support their team. So it was really nice to have the fans a good portion. I think it was upwards of 50-something plus thousand here tonight. So it was a beautiful thing.
And as a former player, and I think one thing, we've talked about this a bunch, one thing that I think this organization does better than any other organization in the NFL is keeping the alumni involved. But you look at all the faces we saw here tonight, and for you as a guy that wore that uniform, that had the blood, sweat, and tears on that field in Oakland,
certainly,
to have this moment now, what was that like?
Well, it was a great cap off for alumni weekend because they came down and watched practice, and there were a lot of alumni here. The ribbon-cutting ceremony happened earlier today where they had Jim Otto out there with Mark Davis. And it's a great time just for the Raiders organization, putting two guys into the Hall of Fame, Charles Woodson and Coach Flores. A week later, you see a great turnout. You see a lot of notable names. I saw Napoleon McCallum, former running back, getting interviewed by JT on the big screen, as well as other people. It's something that we've often dreamt of being Raiders doing in our own place. It was something that this organization was longing for a long time. I've been dealing with the Raiders for over a quarter of a century, and one of the big things that we always talked about was getting our own stadium. Now you have our own stadium, and it feels like home. And you heard how loud this place can get. It wasn't even sold out.
For a preseason game.
For a preseason game. And how often do you get to see Carlos Santana performing at halftime?
Oh, my God. Seldom, if ever.
Exactly. So, you know, when you think about it, it was a beautiful timeout. It was a great audience. It was a great football game. The Raiders showed up and played very hard on both sides of the ball, which we'll talk about in a moment. But it was just a wonderful feeling for the organization, and I am a proud alumni.
And it was a great night for all those reasons, and the Raiders won.
Got to win.
And granted, the score really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but let's just start here. All eyes coming into this game on Alex Leatherwood for good reason, right? The number one draft pick for this team, a guy with a lot of expectation coming in. Mm-hmm. So I got to ask our resident, you know, lineman expert.
Right? Yeah.
How do you think he held up in game one?
I think he held his own for the first preseason game. There's going to be some jitters and there's going to be some mistakes. He's a rookie. He's a young man. But what I did notice about him is that when one of the critical points that Gruden pointed out when they drafted him is that they wanted to take short yardage and goal line to the next level. They struggled with it last year. Got down on the goal line, they ran right behind Alex Leatherwood for the touchdown. Got down the second time on the goal line, they ran right behind the offensive line for a touchdown. So they want to be able to show that, instill that power running mentality. And look, for what it's worth, in the first half, the Raiders had the ball for 51 plays. You know what I mean? That's usually unheard of in the first half. Total domination. It's been a long time since I used that word to assess a Raider game. Total domination on both sides of the ball. Time of possession was real completely one-sided. The run game was completely one-sided. They did everything they needed to do for their first preseason. First time fans are in the stadium. They put on a great performance. And as you mentioned, also coming away with the win.
So sticking with Leatherwood for just a sec, Lang. Obviously, this kid has a long way to go before he is the full version, the best version of himself. What did you want to see out of him in terms of the technique, in terms of, you know, kind of getting from A to Z tonight, knowing full well, hey, he's not going to play a ton, but let's just kind of see where he's at when the bullets start flying a little bit.
Understanding the speed of the game is a lot different than he played in college. That is always what you have to understand as a rookie, especially an offensive lineman coming up to this level. I remember my first game, my first start when I was with the Falcons. I started at guard, and then my first awareness was Chris Mims, who was over on the other side with the Rams. went around me in quickness and in the first play of the game. And that's when I woke up to the speed of the game. You had to get that tested tonight. So, you know, Leatherwood came off of got drafted with the first pick and was anointed the right tackle, starting right tackle. The moment he got drafted, that's your right tackle. Well-deserved. I think he's going to be fine. You saw a little bit of things. He's got some stuff to work on.
Sure.
Everybody does. But the good thing is that they, as I mentioned, the short yardage, the run game was there. Now we'll see in the second game, second and third game, how much more they use it. But I think he got some good production tonight.
You know, in terms of young guys on the offense side of the football that had really nice afternoons, both running backs, we'll talk about them in a sec. But Trey Regis comes out, has a kind of puts an exclamation mark on what he wants to bring to this team and kind of says, hey, look at me. I want a spot on this 53. I mean, what did you see out of him, especially in that first half when everything was rolling so well on offense?
Great patience, great vision and awareness of the way the blocking schemes were going to go. They didn't run the ball a whole lot in the first half. They had, Peterman had a great outing throwing the ball tonight. But when they did, those critical runs, those what we call attitude runs, when you're trying to get that first down, when you're trying to get that touchdown, those are the ones that sticks in people's heads, especially mine, because when you go from the first half to the second half, that becomes where it takes someone's will away. You beat up a defense good enough to where you start pounding the ball. And Regis did. He took full advantage of that situation, as well as BJ. They got in there later in the game and got his touchdown as well.
I'm going to talk about BJ in just a sec, but the one thing that I wrote on my notes when we were talking about Trey Regis, Link, was I noticed that he falls forward a lot, and we talk about that with running backs so often, the importance of falling forward and turning a one-yard gain into a three-yard gain, a negative gain into, oh, this is now a positive gain, even if it's just one. But that is one thing I noticed. One, he runs really hard. He's got that really crisp, solid, concrete first step.
Right.
But he's not a guy who seems like he's going to get taken down behind the line of scrimmage very often.
No, when the offensive line won the line of scrimmage, won the front seven, that gave Regis an opportunity to cut back or to make great cuts. But more instinctively is for him to put his foot in the ground and get downhill right now. Figure out where he's going to go and get downhill right now. Don't do a lot of dancing back there, but get downhill. And I thought that was a good sign for him as well.
Trey Regis finishes his night 13 carries, 62 yards, just under 5 yards a carry with the touchdown. But not to be outdone, BJM says, hey, man, don't forget about me. I'm still here, too. He goes nine carries for 45 yards, 5 yards a pop, and a touchdown of his own. I mean, you look now, Link, over these next two preseason games, obviously when this team gets back and kind of into the throes of camp, I mean, we have a nice little battle brewing for that final running back spot.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But you know how much Gruden and Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, run orchestrator, wants to run the football.
Yeah.
So we're going to see it. And we saw it tonight with a lot of multiple sets with tight ends and stuff like that. And those are going to, I mean, there is a lot of competition going around Raiders camp. You know how deep the defensive line room is. You know how many tight ends that, you know, Gruden likes to play multiple tight ends. And so everybody's pushing and vying for a job. But what I've always told guys, especially this time of year, sometimes call them camp bodies, is that you're not just auditioning for the Raiders, but you're auditioning for 31 other teams. So if you could put some good stuff on tape, and we've got some young guys that had some quality film time tonight because the starters didn't play, hopefully that bodes well for it. That's why I think, to some extent, preseason is essential. You don't get that evaluation otherwise.
Yeah, the eye in the sky don't lie, right?
Exactly.
How many times do we hear that?
Yeah.
So I think going into this, Lincoln, obviously we knew Derek wasn't going to play. We knew Josh was going to play, Max, Unique, all those kind of guys. But even so, you feel pretty good about what you have offensively. But the big question headed into 2021, starters or no starters, is how does this defense look? What did you see from Gus Bradley's first go-around this evening?
Well, the defense did a good job, especially in the first half. They really did a good job. They really denied. And you look at the plays and the total amount of plays, and when you break down the stat sheet, you see what the defense was able to do and how they were able to sustain. But there were some times in the second half where you saw a little bit of confusion out there, guys not getting lined up. And look, Seattle's lone touchdown came off a mistake.
I was just going to say,
One of the linebackers, I'm not sure. I think it was Javon
Wyatt.
Yeah, I thought that might be his mistake, but it's really hard to see because the Raiders brought a blitz. Those are things that are correctable. You know, you want to see. But, you know, when it comes down to this year, as you talked about, there is a lot of emphasis on this defense. There's a lot of focus on Gus Bradley and a lot of focus on getting everybody lined up in the right spot. You know what I mean? Damon Arnett did a good job, fairly good job, tackling on the perimeter. You know, Keyshawn Nixon, a lot of guys came in there and showed their veteran leadership and played well for the defense. We'll see how it goes, what you build off for next week and then the following week, you know, when they get cut down, because A lot of people compete for jobs out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at the defense tonight, right, obviously only having the single touchdown is great. The touchdown itself was an ugly touchdown, right? A missed assignment, a missed tackle. Like, it's not good. But you want these things to happen in mid-August, not in mid-September, October, November. But when I think about the defense in totality, there were a lot of good moments. I think that the pressure was nice. I thought Cleve Farrell had a couple really nice nice drives of getting that kind of sustained pressure from the inside. But there were also those moments of, you know, the penalties, the missed assignments, things like that. And it's not going to be perfect,
right?
No one expects it to be perfect on August 14th.
Right.
But for me, seeing the moments of what it could be was really exciting because I don't think we had a lot of those moments a year ago.
Yeah, the big key is going to be the linebacker core, you know, how they perform, whether they set an attitude. That's going to be a big key. And as you talked about, because that you know, Cleveland Farrell, there are a lot of notable names in that defensive line room, that defensive front room. And there's a lot of pressure on guys like Carl Nassib, you know, Cleveland Farrell, you know, the Vickers. I mean, there are a lot of guys that need to get play time and need to showcase their talents and a lot to prove still to be a part because this roster is deep. And they paid, you know, a lot of attention to defensive line to get rush. And they did a fairly good job tonight creating pressure. They had, you know, the Seahawks first quarterback, Geno Smith, they had him with a little happy feet. They had him worried and didn't see a whole lot of blitzing out of Gus Bradley's defense, but they brought some blitzes tonight. So just need to correct who's got whom and clean up a few things here and there. But it was a good solid outing.
You know, I think I know the answer to this question, but do you have any pause, any concern whatsoever that it felt like the offense came out, it was so good, it was so efficient, so effective, and then we felt like we kind of stalled a little bit after the half?
Well, here's the thing. The receivers have got to find a way to win. Okay, there were times where the Raiders got backed up and they needed to pass the ball and the receivers didn't win. They didn't win in getting open. And a lot of the things that Nathan Peterman did in the early part of the game, the later part of the game, the Seahawks were looking for. Because he was throwing a lot of stop, hitch routes, small, you know, short routes, out routes, stuff like that. So then the Seattle defense began sitting on that. And as the offensive line, you started to interchange the parts. You saw a little bit of porous and breakdown. And Peterman's only mistake was getting hit, you know, throwing the ball in the interception. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he orchestrated the Raiders down the field and made some key throws, getting out of pressure.
It was nice to see him kind of break out the wheels a little bit, too. I think that's one thing that, I mean, I'm fall victim to this, too, Lincoln, where I forget how mobile he can be.
Right. That's why Gruden's been so high on him for the years, past couple of years, because he does have that mobility. And something that Gruden has openly said he wanted to try to get out of Derek Carr, that you got quarterbacks who see an opening, and rather than sitting holding on the ball, take what the defense gives you, get down, and live to play another day. You know, Peterman, that's why he was out there for a good portion, and Cookus only had that one handoff in the game.
So let me ask you this. If you're poor Case Cookus, you go in and you literally take a knee.
That's all the run you get.
I did enjoy this, though. If you watched the – and I don't know if you saw it from your angle, but after he went in, take the knee, he comes back. All the quarterbacks are dapping him up, always like, hey, good work, kid. Really proud of you. That's a good day at work for Case Cookus,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly right.
That's a great day at work.
You know, you get released from one team, you get picked up by another, you get one play, just hand off the ball, and we end the game.
Love it. So, Link, we look at this one now in the rearview mirror, 1-0 in the preseason. Like we said, the score doesn't matter. You're looking at building blocks. We're looking at things to improve on over these next 2 weeks as we get ready for Monday Night Football. But up next, the game against the Rams, and before that, joint practices. First off, what is the importance of having these joint practices? Because I might be in the minority a little bit here, but I almost feel like in 2021 that the way the NFL is, the joint practices are a little bit more valuable, I think, than sometimes what you see here in the preseason.
Well, they are, if you can limit the amount of fights. Because that was a big thing that when we had joint practices, like back in my day with the Cowboys.
All right, Link, let's be quick. No, but they're not practicing anymore practicing.
Well, you know, it's hot. You know, you get tired, you get fatigued. That, you know, the joint practices today are really a good test, especially for a young teams like the Raiders have, because you're going to get that defensive end who's going to come off full speed. You know, play in that one-on-one,
yeah,
and those drills and stuff like that. You're not just going to get going through the motions. More importantly, you can test your rushers, you know, without getting anybody hurt. You can test your rushers against their offensive linemen. So it's a great test, and probably won't see a lot of starters in game two either. I doubt from what we've seen out of most teams this preseason so far, and there's been a team, you know, a couple teams that have had two games, the Cowboys and the Steelers. Everyone else has had one. No one's really looking to play their starters. And they warmed up tonight. All the guys warmed up tonight. But then they went in and took off the shoulder pads. I don't think you're going to see anybody through preseason, which is – I'm a little leery.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So, and if you had it your way, right, if Lincoln Kennedy was running the show, do the starters play in the preseason? Like, I feel like there's some value there, but it's such a fine line.
Okay, let's put it this way. If you're, you know, Derek Carr doesn't need to play in preseason.
1,000%.
Yep. Playing enough games, okay? But there are guys who need to see that full speed that you can't duplicate in practice. So a guy like Leatherwood needs to see it. You got to see Cleveland Farrell, if he's playing that end position, you got to see him rush against somebody. You got guys that need to have those game time reps. More importantly, you need to develop a backup for roles. You need to create depth. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's where, to me, preseason becomes essential and important. There are guys out there, you know, you've covered a lot of practices. You know, Derek doesn't share reps in practice.
No.
For quarterback.
Absolutely not.
So when's your second quarterback, your third quarterback going to get a look? Preseason.
I guess that's it.
They know what they have in Marcus Mariota. He's still got something to prove in Peterman. And here's the thing. You can, you know, one of the main reasons I think you put Peterman out there, even if you're not able to keep him, which I don't think is going to happen. I think the Raiders are going to keep him. There are teams around the league that are looking for a quarterback. And most notably Indianapolis right now with their quarterback on the injured.
Well, if you look at it this way, Link, one thing that Peterman did today, and this is not anything new, but he shows he can run an offense.
Right.
I know that he's kind of become, you know, his name has kind of been become synonymous with something that I don't think is necessarily fair to him.
No.
But, I mean, he went out there and he controlled an NFL offense. He orchestrated
an
NFL offense for 58 and a half minutes.
Yeah, made some key throws, some critical throws, guys showed that he could get out of pressure. Like I said, the only one blemish was one interception, but he was under pressure there. So he did show that he could do it, and good for him.
Yeah. So, Link, a good start tonight.
Good start.
We got two games left.
Yep.
Outside of staying healthy, which is priority number one, what do we really need to see next week in L.A.?
Cut down on the mental errors. We saw a great deal of mental errors on both sides of the ball, both offense and defense. And every coach I've ever played for, when it comes to preseason, says just play fast. Know where you're supposed to go and play fast. We got to see that. Got to see that next step. Because when they have these joint practices against the Rams next week, I don't know how intricate it is, but it's going to be a lot of individual battles that set a precedent going forward. So if you're Incognito or you're Denzel Good, the interior offensive line, you know, or even Andre James, you know, when you're going up against, you know, Darren Donald and some of those guys and that defensive front, that's a good defense. That's a good test for this offense to practice against to see where they are. Even if they go in the game and play very vanilla on both sides, it's a good test for that offense and that defense on both sides against a pretty good team that I think is probably going to challenge for an NFC championship, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Very well said. So, Lincoln, we got two more left. We got a lot of football to watch in between now and Monday Night Football, but this is the fun time of year, right? We're gearing up. It feels like every single day, every single week, we're getting closer and closer and closer, and
can't
I cannot
soon
wait.
Enough, right?
I know, right?
You know,
I mean, gosh, especially after the past year and a half, it cannot happen soon enough.
No.
So, Freddie Pascal, Lincoln Kennedy, my man Ray on the ones and twos, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions, we thank you for hanging out with us. At first episode, Lincoln, it will go down in history, the first episode of the fifth quarter with Lincoln Kennedy in the chair.
I like that.
I like it a lot. So, like I said, a big shout out to Lincoln and a big thank you from everyone here at Silver and Black Productions. And we will see you guys next week following the Silver and Black's matchup with the Los Angeles Rams.
Thank you for listening to the fifth quarter presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.